Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I've spoken before about my mother's deeply held belief in comeuppance, right? When she would read the newspaper or watch a TV program, it was not unusual for her to sit there and say that she could hardly wait for, and then it was sort of just insert name here, whether it was a criminal or a politician or a bad guy on a television program, whatever. I can't wait for them to get their comeuppance. Now, my mom would have never called that karma because that sounded way too Eastern religion, but she did believe in comeuppance, at least for some. In today's gospel story, Jesus is talking with people who also believe in comeuppance. They were inquiring and talking with Jesus about the Jews that Pilate had killed at a religious festival, mixing their blood with their sacrifices. They were also asking about the people who died when a tower fell on them and crushed them. They wanted to know if this was comeuppance. They wanted to know if somehow or another this was earned or deserved, if it was a punishment from God, because as far as they knew, that could really be the only explanation. And to all of those inquiries, Jesus says no. To those worried about punishment from God, Jesus says no. This is not punishment from God. To all of those who were sort of excited by the possibility of someone finally getting their comeuppance, Jesus also says no. Pilate was behaving as tyrants behave, and those Galileans were in his way. It's not punishment from God, but it's an arbitrary act from a man with far too much power. The tower falling wasn't knocked over by the hand of God looking to punish those beneath. It was maybe poor planning on the tower design. It was maybe poor construction. Or maybe the tower had been there for a long, long time, or it might have even just been gravity. These were not the worst sinners ever. These people were not deserving of extra punishment as a result of comeuppance. These were people. These were people like the ones who were talking to Jesus that day, like Jesus himself, like you and me. Today, Jesus is trying to teach us about repentance and trust. If we don't repent, we will live and die repentant. If we don't trust in God, and if we don't trust in God's goodness in our lives, then we will live and die without trust. You see, suffering comes to all of us, to all people. Suffering comes at the hands of tyrants, as the people of the Ukraine can attest right now. Suffering comes at the hands of gravity and wind, fire, water, earthquakes, tornadoes, all of it. It comes. It's not punishment from God, but it should call us to repentance. It should call us to repent. We should not wonder at why someone else hasn't or why that happened to them. We need to repent for ourselves. We need to turn back to God and place our trust in God, living changed lives. Because God is good and gracious even to those who suffer. And living repentance gives us glimpses of that goodness no matter what tragedy can surround us. And then this leads us to today's parable. Today's parable is not about cutting things down, but rather it's about nurture and forgiveness. This parable is about the patience of grace and not the terror of comeuppance. You see, too often we hear this parable and believe that it shows God walking through his vineyard looking for trees to cut down. No fruit, gone. No fruit, turn it into kindling. That's not God. At least it's not the God that Jesus is showing us. That is the world. Or as I like to usually say, the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. Right? We are the ones who are wandering the vineyard looking to pull the weeds and cut down the trees, especially if that means that we're going to be getting rid of them, whoever them are. And mostly they are any who are different from us. They can be the addicted or the struggling, those without homes or jobs. See, the world looks on folks like that and wants them cut down. In this parable, the presence of God is shown in the gardener, the one with the patience and the willingness to work to make things happen. This is the God of love that Jesus is showing us. In this parable, the word that we translate, let it alone, as in let this tree alone for a year, that word we also translate as forgive. You see, forgiveness is at the heart of God's love for us all. While we may have earned comeuppance, God's answer is forgiveness. God's answer is love. And walking beside us, attempting to guide us to a path of love for neighbor. It's not that sin goes unpunished, but it is usually punished by consequences for foolish choices and not by God dropping towers on us. God wants to work with us, and so is patient, willing to wait for us to wake from our fever dream and step with Him into a future of love and care. Isaiah shows us some of this also today, because God stands ready to provide. For those who thirst, God provides water. For those who have no money, food and drink, wine and milk, all available at no price. God promises life and an everlasting covenant. And we are called to seek the Lord like Jesus is calling us to repent. Turn back toward God, and the grace of God is ours. Isaiah also helps us to understand that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. God is all about grace, and we are all about comeuppance. That's why we wonder these things. That's why we are terrified that the things that we hope will happen to the bad guy over there are actually instead going to happen to me. We wonder whether or not we have earned a punishment, and we are always willing to point out a better candidate for that. God's thoughts are about grace. Grace is undeserved love. We don't deserve it, and yet God provides that love anyway. Sometimes that love comes with gravity attached, not as punishment, but rather as consequent. Sometimes that love comes with a nudge to a new choice. You see, God loves us too much to let us remain in our foolishness, but God is patient, willing to wait for us to come to that conclusion. God is the one who wants to work in the soil of our lives, which then becomes our prayer during this Lenten season, this springtime for our souls. The digging and the fertilizing is the presence of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, whether at the font or at the table. And it is the presence of God in Scripture. It is the presence of God through our sisters and brothers. God stands ready to help us grow in faith, to watch us grow in faith, and to be with us as we bear fruit for the sake of our neighbors. See, life is really about grace and not comeuppance. If we are left to ourselves, comeuppance takes control. If we rest on what we do and hope that it's good enough, then the orchard will come and the orchard owner will come and cut us down. But if we trust in God, our gardener, our friend, the one who truly is love, then we have hope. Then we are truly connected to the vine and are able to bear fruits like love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Thanks be to God that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And may we all follow Christ so that our ways become God's ways. May the grace and patience of God help us to grow so that we might shine with God's light, build God's kingdom, and make God's dream real in the world around us. Amen.